All right. Well, I want to bring a message to you called Raise Above It. Raise Above It. And I love this picture, you know, the title slide, Raise Above, because it shows, you know, just a building well above the clouds, you know. And God has called us to a higher plane. I want to let you know that we're definitely, all of us, under adverse circumstances, aren't we? Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic is running its course throughout the world. And it's even coming close to home. We're starting to see more cases here in Cochise County. And it can be daunting. It can be stressful for us, you know. Is it going to hit my family? So some are advocating fear. Some are advocating panic around us, especially in the news. And while many succumb to these things, that is not to be the way of the believer. We are to rise above it. We're called to live above the fray. No matter what happens in the natural world, the spiritual world that we live in dictates what is happening. Did you guys know that the spiritual world supersedes the natural world? It does. Look at what God says in Isaiah 43:1. It says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you." Or another translation says, "I have redeemed you." And it says, "I have called you by name." And look at this. He's saying to you, "You are mine. You are mine." Come on, you are His prized possession. He's not going to let you go. He knew this was going to happen. He knew the struggles the church was going to have, even in putting, you know, services together on live stream. Sometimes we stress out, but God knew it was coming, and He says, "You can handle this, and My grace is there for you." So we're not going to stress about what we're concerned with is that you are touched spiritually. We're praying that God will go right into your living room and that His presence will just come upon you and just set you free today, that you'll be encouraged even at the sound of my voice, that whatever I'm saying here today from this pulpit is going to penetrate you, your mind, your emotions, your heart, and all your family members, and that you'll know that you belong to Him. God says to you, "You are mine." Hallelujah. Our trust, our faith is in God, and it allows us to be elevated to another plane. Yes, did you guys know that? Faith allows your spiritual eyes to go above another plane. Instead of looking at things in the natural circumstances around you, He allows you to go above it and begin to see things from heaven's perspective, where there is no lack of peace, there is no lack of provision, there is no lack of future. You know, your destiny is intact, and God is cheering for you. So God wants to elevate your gaze, but really take you like in an elevator, spiritually speaking, so you can look down at the things around you from her perspective and be encouraged to live above the clay, the haze of the clouds, so you can see clearly. And so in saying that, when looking at the history of Israel, because we look to the scriptures for encouragement, I put forward to you that no period resembles the world that we live in as much that we've seen today as the period of the captivity. Right? After the period of the kings of Israel and Judah, because they led, you know, this split nation astray, the kings did, and their leaders, God, as a good father does, He said, "I'm going to discipline you." You know, sometimes we call it shaking. We call it sifting or pruning. We've been using these words in this season because that's what God is doing. God is resetting us. He's saying, because if I let you be in that current world that you're living in, and you're in the rat race that you're in, and your gaze not on Me, then you're going to continue to live out your ways away from Me. And God says, "I need to change the circumstances around you." And I'm talking to the believers mainly, so that you will focus on Me. So this is a resetting time for all of us. So God allowed them to be conquered by Babylon. That's what happened in the period of captivity. After all the kings of Israel and Judah, in that period, God let them be conquered by Babylon, and most of them were carried away to a foreign land for a period of 70 years. He had warned them since the times of Moses that if they turned to idols, if they did not obey His commandments, that they would be given to captivity. And specifically, God said that they went into captivity because they did not observe the Sabbaths, which represents our rest. Interesting, right? People that are not resting in Him. They're not trusting in Him for His provision. Interestingly, when we live by faith, we're able to rest, and to live in a way that allows us to live above the fray, to rise above the fray. So this brings us to the beginning of the captivity and the passage we're going to read under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. So we're going to read most of Daniel chapter 1. Because I really believe that there's some insights in this that are really going to speak to you. And I'm going to pause from time to time to draw out, to extract some things that are really going to touch it today. But let me have a quick prayer before I do that. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this message, into this live stream, Lord God, Father, and we ask for your full guidance. I commit my heart to you. I pray you would anoint hearts and minds and ears to receive, and you would anoint mine, Lord God, to deliver that what you want to be said today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So let's go to Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. So it says here, verse 1, during the third year of King Jehoiakim, reign of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. How far this nation had gone. But let's pause here, because this year the Lord gave him victory. The Lord gave Nebuchadnezzar victory. Who gave him victory? It was God, the Lord. So I want to pause here just to say that God allows for circumstances to be used, not that God intends for them to happen, but he allows them to occur so that we can be disciplined, shaken, even to a degree incur brokenness, that our heart may return to him. Maybe you're not a believer as you're listening to this, but you want to know, what is God up to? Is God real? Does he want to be involved in my life? I want to tell you that he is. And I want to assure you that God is in full control. So we have this tendency to think that the situations that we're in are unique in all the history of the world. We even think, surely, you know, that the enemy, and the enemy wants this, that we believe that we're in an unprecedented situation. It has never been like conditions like these. Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon wrote, he said, there's nothing new under the sun. There's been shakings like this, there's been situations like this in the history of the world. But he wants to oppress you to assert to the point that you give up, that you give in to sin, that you give in to fear. Some of you even thought about, hey, giving up your life and your future, and that is not a good place to be. That I will tell you, begins in the pit of hell. History repeats itself. But the good news is, just as God moved in the past to redeem a remnant, to redeem his people, to protect them, to release mercy, he's going to do it again. He is doing it again. He's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one group, he will surely do it for you, for me, for my family, for our community. What he wants us to do is to turn our eyes to him. Would you turn your heart and your eyes to him today? He desires that every generation know him. So every generation goes through a different set of situations and circumstances that cause them to look to God, both for the believer and the unbeliever. So are you listening to what God is saying to you? Are you listening to what God is saying to you? Because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it says in John chapter 10. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And listen, he wants to steal your opportunities. He wants to kill your dreams. And he wants to destroy your future and that of your children. But he cannot unless you let him. Let me say that again. He cannot unless you let him. You can choose to rise above it. You can choose to rise above it. So let's continue. Verse 3, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Sometimes we feel captive, don't we? Are you feeling captive recently? Maybe captive in your home, captive by circumstances, and worse, captive in your emotions, captive in your mind. Verse 4, select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. He said, make sure they're well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. They were to be trained for 3 years. They were going to be submitted to the training program. Isn't it interesting that Jesus trained his disciples for 3 years? He put them through a set of circumstances, even difficulties, even trials, that they would be, you know, brought up to another level, to be trained in his ways, to get to know him better. And then it says, verse 6, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. Coincidentally, all of the names of these four young men had the name of God in them. Their name had the name of God. But here's Babylon trying to change their names. And for example, Azariah was called Abednego. You know what Abednego means? Right? A servant of Nebo. It's one of the gods of the Chaldeans. You know, he wanted to change their identity. You know, so the world wants to reprogram you. Satan wants to reprogram you and change your identity. Rather than you having the identity of God, for you to have the identity that the world wants to peg on you. And that is a lie. But this is what I want you to know. Just like with Esther, God wants you to know that he has put you in this current situation for such a time as this. He put you here, not by coincidence, but for such a time as this. He chose for you to be born in this generation, in this country, in your family, with the circumstances that you live in, for such a time as this. He had placed giftings inside of you. He placed, you know, desires inside of you that were going to be used in the future. Just like for these young men, it tells us here that they were very intelligent, that they were well-versed in literature. It says that they were strong, that they were good-looking, that they were healthy, and that's why the king picked them. God has picked you individually for such a time as this moment, for you to step in into these circumstances and to make a difference. God designed you to draw the attention, you know, of this world, just like this young man drew the attention of Nebuchadnezzar. God's favor was upon them. So he made them strong and healthy, good looking, and he gave them that unusual aptitude, right, for learning. Well, God has gifted you. But he wants you to be brought up before key people in this world. Key people. I'm not talking necessarily just governors and celebrities, but I'm talking people that need to hear the message of the gospel at this hour. He brought you for such a time as this. So we have to rise above it. We have to rise above the situation. Just like these four young men, we live in a tension, listen, between the secular and the kingdom of God. There's a tension between the secular and the kingdom of God. The world wants us to conform, wants us to change our identity. The world is feeding us things, to follow the patterns, to chase after the same things that the world is chasing after. But God is calling us to rise above it. He's calling us to rise above it. The world and its system wants to consume us with this message of conformism. There's a lot of messages against Christianity these days. You know, they're calling us all kinds of names. Fundamentalists, radicals, you know, that we won't conform. And those things that used to be called good are not called evil, and what was called evil is not called good, just like the Bible tells us. You know, there's a message also of fear. There's a message of humanism. You hear that the Bible is antiquated. But I tell you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it says in Hebrews 13:8. His power, listen, his power to transform, to transcend, and to triumph is intact, is unequal, and is active today. Hallelujah. And you can tap into it today. We do live in adverse conditions like these four young men. We're living in adverse conditions, maybe more adverse than you had experienced in a while. But I also know that there's some people that are listening who have already been trained by adverse conditions. You know, and they're not even breaking a sweat. in this situation. Why? It's because they learned to trust in God. They said, if God delivered me from the fire, if God delivered me from the flood, if God delivered me from sickness and death, He will surely deliver me from this plague. Because this plague is not outside of God's control. God has full control of it. So some of people are just thriving, not just surviving in this season. But God is wanting to train you. Remember, like what James said in chapter 1, that the trying of your faith produces patience. God is using it to train you in a spiritual endurance. Spiritual endurance for you to be able to handle bigger situations. The world is looking for hope, and they want to look to a people that when there's crisis, they won't crumble. They won't succumb under pressure. They're looking for a people that will stand strong. In the Revelation, it says that to those that overcome, it says, I will make you a column in the house of the Lord. A column is something that supports the weight. It's able to handle on the shoulders things that nobody else can handle. And that's when people look to you. People are going to run to you to find the answers. For such a time as this, you've been put in this world, in this dark world. Verse 8, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself. He was not going to conform by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. So he asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Daniel had the gift of discernment. Daniel had the gift of discernment. This stuff they're giving me, that is not pleasing to God. You know, and I want to tell you, there's a wisdom of God that is resident in His people as we partake of the Scriptures on a regular basis. As we meditate upon His Word, He begins to deliver into us a sense of right and wrong. And it becomes very acute, and you're able to smell the lies of the enemy. The Scripture tells us we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. And we can see that how you can even take a truth and insert a tiny little lie. But a trained believer begins to say, wait a second. He's trying to sell me that little lie, and I will not accept it. The devil is a master at packaging things in such a way that you consume them, you know, in a way that, you know, it begins to spoil all of your life. Just give it time. He does it inadvertently, in a subtle manner, over time, and next thing you know, you're out in left field, and you're away from God, and you believe, you know, an entire set of lies. You know, so, but Daniel said, I'm determined not to defile myself. The king was offering Daniel and his friends food that was considered unclean. And it could be unclean maybe because there were animals that they were taught as good Jews not to eat, or because these foods were presented before their gods and said, hey, we offer these things. So he says, I don't want something that's offered to a god that's a curse. Someone that's been offered to an idol, that will not enter my mouth. I want to tell you that the world and its system, influenced by Satan, is trying to sell you something today. It's trying to get you to consume and partake of things that are going to have a long-lasting effect. So you need to be trained by the Scriptures. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is profitable. And it says in another place that it's like a two-edged sword that penetrates, able to divide between thoughts and intentions. And that's what happens. It's able to wiggle itself and to really, you know, like an X-Acto knife, be able to discern and with a very fine line what's right and what's wrong. And so you can, if you need to consume certain things, you say, hey, like in the Apostle John tells us, you know, consider all things, you know, take what's good and reject the bad. But oftentimes we just need to flee from certain things. We need to flee from sexual immorality. We need to flee from the message of this world because they're harming us. And right now when we're in a captive audience, we're especially in danger of that because, you know, what do we want to do? We want to spend the time in social media. We want to spend the time, you know, watching movies or watching TV and just passing the time, you know, just kind of escaping the realities that we're in. But I want to tell you, there's an agenda behind that too. So you got to be careful what you're feeding yourself during this hour. So Daniel said, I don't want any of it. Every day we come across things that have been specially packaged by the enemy. Things that originated in the mind of Satan that he wants us to partake in. And many people will ask, what's wrong with? But that's not the right question to ask. It should be, what's right with? The man or woman like Danny who has set their heart to please God will not partake of anything that, listen, saddens the Holy Spirit. When you feel the Holy Spirit grieve, when you say, after I watched that, I didn't feel closer to God. I actually felt like I withdrew from God. Or I felt like the presence of God left me. You know, that's to the point that you're training your heart and your mind to please God, where you quickly realize that the Holy Spirit is not pleased with what you're doing. And I'm going to tell you, there's much peer pressure. There's a lot of peer pressure going on. And even within Christianity, there's peer pressure. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. There are voices for you to partake certain things. And I'm going to give you a quick example. You know, we have this Disney Plus subscription that we pay for. You know, there's some movies there for families that are pretty good. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of junk in Disney Plus. And my kids are constantly being bombarded. You know, if I'm not careful, you know, and I have to sit down and tell them, you will not watch that. Why, Daddy? Because that has witchcraft. Why can't I watch this? Because sexual immorality. Why can't I watch this? Because it has humanism. What kind, you know, what can't I watch this? Because it has Eastern religions all over it. Are you seeing it? So just be careful. Oh, the worship of nature is big right now. They just had Earth Day, you know, this past week, and everybody's all about worshiping nature. You got to be careful. You can honor the things that God has given us, but we can never worship nature. We need to only worship God. You will not have other gods before me, said God in the first commandment. Hallelujah. So Disney and all of its companies, you know, I'm just calling them out today, but it could be anything. Each of you has something that the world is trying to entice you with. The Bible says that all of us are led or enticed according to our own concupiscence, according to your own weaknesses. The devil's going to try to mislead you. So all of you should have your discerner, your knower, on high alert and say, what is the devil trying to sell me? Because I will not conform like Daniel to the ways of this world. I will not consume what the world's trying to feed me readily. But if you're looking at ABC, ESPN, come on, all the studios that they own, they have an agenda. It's definitely not the Disney from when you were a child, from decades ago. So be very careful what you consume. You need to have a discerning mind. The conditions are adverse, but you still have a choice to not just survive and to live, oh, I'm just going to cover my eyes all the time. But you can thrive. You can rise above it. You can change the systems. Come on. You have weapons at your disposal. You have a vote. You have a choice where your money goes. You can make a stand. And best of all, you have prayer. You have to change entire systems. Hallelujah. God has not called us to just sit back and let Satan invade all of the media. God wants us to take over all these things and redeem them in the name of Jesus. So God is raising up a people to redeem all technologies. Aren't we seeing that these days? Hallelujah. I saw a meme the other day said, and just like that, it had Forrest Gump on it, my pastor is now, you know, a televangelist. You know, it seems like every pastor in America has become a televangelist overnight because we're all live streaming. But it's in a way that we're flooding the airways. We're flooding social media, you know, with good, positive messages, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves and encourages. Hallelujah. You know, Satan doesn't let any crisis go to waste. And let me tell you, we should not let a crisis go to waste. We should not let a crisis go to waste. When you make a stand, when you make a line in the sand, hey, I'm not going to give in to the lies. I'm not going to throw a pity party. Are you listening to that? I'm not going to throw a pity party. Then God begins to drop on a special wisdom, unusual wisdom and favor to make a difference. Hallelujah. I drew my line in the sand. You know, working around, you know, soldiers, you know, oftentimes they're potty mouths, right? And I remember some of them even saying many years ago in different places that I've worked, they would say, oh, you'll talk like us in a while. I said, no, I won't. Come on. No, I won't. I drew my line in the sand. But you know what? I didn't just stay over here. Hey, I'm just going to live my Christianity all by myself, just kind of be a closet Christian, a secret service Christian. No, I began to pray, Lord God, I want you to invade the battalion. And God eventually answered that prayer. He sent us an amazing chaplain. You know, if you're watching, you know, Chaplain Seaborn out there. And we teamed up and we began to see the landscape of our battalion change. Because we weren't just receiving the messages. We say, hey, we're not just going to draw a line in the sand. We're going to push, you know, in that direction, and we're going to take the land for God. We're going to take our battalion for God. And we began to see people getting saved, people going to Bible studies, the gospel preached, you know, to more people than ever. We can do that. We can rise above the fray, above it. Hallelujah. So let me read you verse 9. Yes, verse 9. And it says, "Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but he responded, 'I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded.'" You know, the world is going to throw all kinds of very humanistic reasons why you need to, you know, support their causes. And you need to consume, you know, their ideas. But you must settle it in your heart. Settle in your heart that you're going to please God above pleasing people. That seems like a very compelling reason. Hey, you know, I may die if you don't eat this food. But Daniel said, "No, I cannot do that." So point number one, and I'm very close to the end here. I want you to take the three things away, and this is the first one. Everything God does in us must be tested. Everything that God does in us will be tested, must be tested. And we're going to read verses 11 through 14 of Daniel 1. It says, "Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." And then it says, "Look, please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water," Daniel said. "At the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see." The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. And let me just say this to young people. Oftentimes we feel like we're missing out if we're not partaking of certain things. What can I go to that party? What can I watch that movie? What can I, you know, partake of this or partake of that? Drink this or, you know, what's wrong with having a little bit of fun? But we need to settle in our heart that we belong to God and it's okay to be different. Hallelujah. It says, if you will not partake of those things, you will not miss out. As a matter of fact, God is going to reward you handsomely, and you're going to stand out above everyone else. And ultimately, as we're being tested, it is because all of us have been called to steward a piece of the kingdom. All of us have been called to steward a piece of the kingdom. But some of us think it is so insignificant. We're saying, "Oh, the piece of the kingdom that God gave me is so tiny, you know." And just like the man that only had one talent, you hide it away, you don't do anything with it. But I want to tell you, God is testing your heart. What are you doing with those little things? With those little opportunities? The Bible says that as the little fox is the spoil of the vines. Often those little things are indisciplines. But before God gives us a bigger piece of the kingdom to manage, you have to pass a test. You have to pass a test. And the tests that matter, they're not easy. It's not just the quiz, the pop-up. You know, God gives us some difficult tests. I'll tell you what, my wife and I and our family and many of you participating in this, we were tested last year when our baby came. I was away from the pulpit for at least 6 weeks, if not longer. You know, and I thought at one point in time my son was going to die. But we chose to praise God. We chose to seek God. We chose to, you know, go after him, and to not partake of fear, not partake of the lies of the enemy. Many could have just said, "You know what, I'm just giving up ministry." No. God allowed it to happen. God factored it, and now I see that it's built up something of eternal value inside my wife and I. So that's what I'm telling you. Now that we're experiencing other difficulties and adverse conditions, sometimes we don't even break a sweat. Because we've already gone through things throughout our lifetime. And I can know many believers that are watching right now can say the same thing. Hallelujah. The Lord has been with us through thick and thin. He's been faithful every time. He's gotten us out of every mess, and he will get us out of this mess too. Come on. So he is with you. But he wants us to pass this test. You know, whether it's crisis or confusion. You know, maybe you're going through a valley or a desert, what the Bible calls a wilderness experience. maybe in a place of fog. You know, the places of fog are like some of the worst because you lose your spatial orientation. You can't see things clearly. You can't see God clearly. You can't see the next step clearly. And so a lot of people make mistakes in those times of haziness. But I'm telling you, God wants you to stay put, do the last thing He told you to do, you know, continue in your disciplines, in the word and prayer, because you will punch through that fog, and on the other side, you will have passed the test. That's why you need to cling to God with faith today. And let me tell you, God is not honored by self-pity. You know, when we just throw a tantrum, God, woe is me, you don't see any place in the scripture where God honors self-pity. Whether it was Job, He let him ramble for a little bit, but then, you know, He said, okay, Job, that's enough of that. All right, when the disciples, you know, were like, oh, we're going to drown. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? He does not honor self-pity. He honors what? Faith. He honors faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God. Let me say that again. It is impossible to please God. Let me say it a third time. It is impossible to please God without faith. Hallelujah. Anyone that wants to come to Him must believe that God exists. Basically, that God is on the throne. He's sovereign. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, like it says here, and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Who stay put in the middle of the situation. Those people that rise above it will be rewarded. People, we're being tested right now. Will you rise above it? You might be quarantined, but you have a choice to rise above it. You can live by faith, to thrive rather than survive. God is cheering you on today. You can do it. Trust in what I'm saying. Begin to ask God for daunting prayers. Come on. Begin to make bold declarations out there. Begin to use the spiritual weapons that you have. God is saying, I'm testing you in this. I'm allowing the adverse conditions that you're seeing, because I want to see how you handle it. Will you draw closer to me or are you going to fall away? You have a choice. Will you complain or will you praise me through it? Will you lead your family through this or will you let the circumstances dictate what happens to your family? Come on, shepherds. That brings me to point number two. Adverse conditions do not stop you from rising above it. Adverse conditions cannot stop you from rising above it. Look at Daniel 1:15. At the end of the 10 days, the testing period, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. Come on, do not partake of fear. Do not partake of of the panic. You know, of all the messages that you're seeing out there, you begin to speak faith. Come on, you begin to stay put on what God is saying, because God is testing you. And at the end of this test, people are going to see that you stand taller, stronger, healthier. Your sphere of influence is going to grow, and you're going to impact nations. God has called us to harvest, and this is our preparation, people. Hallelujah. And it says here that the young men who had been eating the food assigned to the king, it says they look healthier and better. We already read that. It says, by the way, there's another story in two chapters later in this very book, in Daniel, where he talks about, you know, the three friends. And it says that because they did not bow down, you know, to this statue, you know, when the music played, this is Nebuchadnezzar grew very angry, and he says, grab them and throw them in the fire furnace. And just to make the story short, it says that they were thrown into a fire, but the fire did not consume them. And it says that Nebuchadnezzar was able to see there was a fourth man in the fire, and that was God. It says like the face of a son of God. That was Jesus himself in the fire. It was a Christophany, you know, taking him through it. And it says that when they brought them out, it says their clothes were not consumed, the sandals. And it says they didn't even smell of smoke. I'm telling you, after we go through this, when you're staying connected to Jesus, because Jesus is in the boat with you, remember we talked about that, Jesus is in the boat with you, there's not going to be even a smell or a hint of the plague or its effects, of fear, of quarantine. I'll call it. You're going to punch right through it. You're going to punch right through it, people. I hope you're listening to the message today. I believe that I'm preaching this to someone. There was a fourth man with him, and that was Jesus. So if you cling to God, you will rise above the current conditions. And you'll come out stronger, unscathed, to the amazement of many. And that brings me to point number three. Your promotion, listen, your promotion is tied to how you handle these adverse conditions. Your promotion, your increase, hallelujah, your greater influence, the things that you're looking, you know, for God to do, the dreams that you have, they're tied to these situations and how you handle them. Verse 16, so after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. God gave these four young men an unusual, an uncommon aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. Hallelujah. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. Hallelujah. God said, you've been faithful in the little things, Daniel. You stood up, you drew the line in the sand, and I'm giving you the gift of discernment and be able to, you know, interpret dreams. Because I'm going to use this dream, this gift in the future. And we know the story of Daniel, how he interpreted dreams for kings. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, when the training period ordered by the king was completed, hallelujah, you're in a training period with God. The chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that God doesn't test forever. He only allows Satan so much slack before he yanks it, no matter what. The training period we're in is coming soon to an end, and it will be promotion time. It will be promotion time. Hallelujah. Did you know that soldiers in time of war promote faster? Why? Because they're going through the most rigorous situations and hazardous situations, dangerous situations. Some people succumb to pressure, you know. They get sent home or they get demoted, and the people with character rise up and they're promoted. Hallelujah. It's promotion time. It's reward time. So did you choose during this season to live in faith or fear? Let me ask you, have you been generous? Have you been hoarding? Have you been selfless or have you been selfish? Your promotion is tied to how you handle adverse conditions. And I'm almost done here. Verse 19, the king talked with them and no one impressed them as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Come on, we've been called to shine the light of Jesus. So they entered the royal service. And there's no better royal service than to serve the king. Hallelujah. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them, how many? 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. You know, some of us that have gone through conditions like these in the past, we actually look back fondly on those periods of testing, on those valleys, on those moments of wilderness. Because those are the times that God used to forge us in the fire, that we may come out on the other side stronger. Remember, to become that column. You know, for the next assignment that God, for the promotion that God has before us. These are the events where you met God, where you had an encounter with God like never before, and when you saw His hand upon you. Hallelujah. His hand is upon you. Listen to me, wherever you're at. God is using this to test His people. He's in full control. He's using every little bit for your good. Even when the enemy tries to use it for your destruction, hallelujah, God has a plan for you. And there's a training period that you're going through. But after some training, you pass the test, there's a promotion time. Hallelujah.